This passage of Scripture is one that many of us know and have read many times. John provides some background into the Samaritans and the Jews. And what takes place here is quite clear. You can tell what's going on in this woman's mind because she expresses it. She says what she's thinking, and Jesus speaks to her. So with God's help, I don't intend to go through and explain what is happening here, but really focus upon this one verse, verse number 10, where Jesus says something amazing to this woman. He says, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Before Jesus says this, Jesus asks her to give him some water from the well. But Jesus says, if you knew this gift of God, and who it is that's speaking to you, then things would be different. What you do would change. You would be asking the question. Do you ever wonder why you hesitate and you're not on the path towards closeness with God? Jesus is opening up something for us to recognize. If she knew the gift of God, if she knew the one that was speaking to her, things would be different. Things would change. This idea reminded me of what we heard on Sunday morning, the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Where Paul is saying that as we are beholding the glory of God, we are being changed into the image from glory to glory. And this idea has been reoccurring in conversations, in text messages, in meditations throughout this week. And this verse is no exception. If we had our eyes fixed on the gift of God and understood what that meant, if we had our eyes fixed upon the glory that's being revealed in Jesus Christ, life would be different. We would be growing in the Spirit. We would be at Jesus' feet, asking of him, pleading of him. We remember the story that Jesus told of a man that found a treasure in the field. And before he found the treasure, he was doing his business. He was minding his own occupation. He was doing his work day to day. But once he found that treasure, things changed. Priorities realigned. And he had a focus for his life, and all of his efforts and energies were directed toward that one goal and that one treasure that he desired to have. And Jesus is describing what life is like. You know, before we know about God's gift and of Jesus Christ, we're given some reminders from time to time. Look down that well where you've been drawing from. What'd you pull out? You find anything valuable there yet? You're looking down to the deepest depths of the earth for something? Are you satisfied yet? And that's what God's word does to us. It prods us and it questions the values of this world that say, you can find it. You just need to dig a little bit deeper. You can find what will satisfy your soul, satisfy your flesh, your mind, and your interests. And Jesus waits. He says, let me see what you have next. What can you get from this world? But if you knew the gift of God and the preciousness of that gift and who offers us that gift and who is so vitally important for us to be able to have access to that gift and who is so loving and willing to grant unto us that precious gift, then we would be at his feet. We would be loving him. We would be devoted to him. We would be weeping and washing his feet and drying them with our hair. And we would learn something about him. We'd learn something about ourselves, just like this woman. See, Jesus asks the woman, you know, the rabbi, the master, the esteemed Jew, is asking the Samaritan, can you just give me some water? And she doesn't. And she just asks, who are you? Who do you think you are? And why should I? And we see that's so unfitting. That's so out of proportion for how Jesus should be treated. But we find here that what Jesus tells the woman about himself, you know, if you ask, if you would have asked me for some water, I would have given it to you. I wouldn't have asked you who you are and why I should do it for you. I would have given it to you. Do we know how much, even as we prayed, the Lord has condescended to us who are of low estate? He's come down. He's washed our feet, teaching us how we're to be. If we would but ask, he's willing to give, and that's his heart. So it's probably really important now that we all understand what is this gift of God. Because if you know the gift and you know the one who is offering it, things will change. You would be asking the right questions. You would be pursuing the right goals. You would be heading in the right direction. So what is the gift of God? We look to the Bible. We look to the scriptures for answer to that question. We see in the very beginning of the preaching of the apostles, when Peter preached at Pentecost to the crowds in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, when the men asked him, what should we do? He told them this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the gift of God, one of the gifts of God, is the Holy Ghost. God's presence in your heart and in your life, to be with you. Jesus says that he is a comforter, and that is a gift of God. Have you ever been at a time of great loss or sorrow, and somebody prepared a card of sympathy or thoughtfulness and showed that they cared. That was their gift to you of comfort. This is a desirable gift because there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of heartache in life. There's a lot of things that are not fair. And how are we to deal with it on our own? We cannot. But God offers us a gift. And just like when we opened up that card and were touched by the thoughtfulness of the words, that person wanted to be close and identify with our sorrow and our grief and wanted to be present with us when we felt all is lost. Believers have the gift of God, the Holy Ghost, who grants comfort. And that is a refreshing gift. That's a reason to ask of Him for more of what He has to offer and less of what the world has to offer. The Holy Ghost also guides and directs us. We're singing a hymn, 180. O Holy Ghost, who me with gentle power dost guide and comfort, teaching me to pray. Do you ever need to know what to pray? Do you ever need guidance and direction? We're all in that place. We need the guidance and direction of the Lord, and He knows that, and He's providing to His children the gift of the Holy Ghost to those who would believe upon Him, that He might comfort and guide us. That's a precious gift of God. Later, Paul writes to the Romans about another gift of God. He says in Romans chapter number 5, speaking in contrast with Adam's fall and what God has provided through Jesus Christ and his precious, precious blood and the grace that He extends to us. In Romans chapter 5, we read, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of that of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. But what is the gift? Paul clarifies in the next verse. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. God has a gift of righteousness to bestow upon us. And this is a desirable gift. When you look at the decisions and the direction of those who are acclaimed as the wise and leaders of this world, you see that they are leading to chaos and to destruction. They're doing things wrong. but so do you and I. We get things wrong. We speak up too quickly when we should be quiet. And we're quiet when we should be speaking up very often. We hurt one another. And we do wrong. And this woman probably knew a lot about that. She hurt many people's lives. And she was hurting somebody's life right at that moment. Because she thought that was the well where she would find her soul's delight. But Jesus knows how to make things right. And it's a gift of Jesus to make us right before God. When a man or a woman begin following Jesus and humble themselves and turn from pride, then they can start making things right. And that's a gift of God that comes by Jesus Christ living and reigning in life, in your life, in my life. We are blessed with this gift of righteousness to be declared righteous. That word justification that we read in the scriptures means to be declared righteous. To be called the beloved sons and daughters of God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us upon the cross, that he would see us as his beloved. What a gift. What a desirable gift. What a gift that changes a heart and changes a life. When he lives within us. We know Ephesians chapter 2 very well. And that gift that is spoken of in Ephesians chapter 2, the gift of God, when Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Where would we be if Jesus had not said, "I would have given you if you would have asked"? We would have had no hope. There's no effort or payment or way that we could obligate God to return a favor, but it is by the gift of God's grace that we find salvation. That's the gift of God. That's the gift that Jesus came to bring to mankind. How much more precious is that than any treasure that you can find in the dirt of this world? There's nothing more enduring. There's nothing more lasting than the goodness of God that has come to us in Jesus Christ. Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." There's no measure. We cannot exhaust how much value and how much power there is in the gift of God and the one who gives it. And if we know his gift, and if we know him, we would come to his feet and we would be begging. We would be asking. Things would be different, and our lives would be changed if we truly knew him and saw him with the glory that he truly is. A little bit later in this book of Ephesians, in chapter 3, Paul gets a little bit personal and speaks about how God was working in him as a minister of the gospel. He says in verse 7 of chapter 3, "Whereof I was made a minister," speaking of the gospel, "according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his mighty power." God had given Paul a gift to proclaim the gospel, to share the word. And if you read in chapter 4 of Ephesians, it speaks of Jesus giving gifts unto men for the edifying of the body and the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We as a church are anticipating and in the process of praying unto the Lord for who he would provide that gift to be of service, to bring the church into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's not hard for God to give a gift. He was able to use the fishermen in Acts chapter 2 to speak in languages that others could understand. It's not beyond God to be able to give a gift, to speak and to utter. That he can do. But who will be a man of character whose faith you can follow, whose faith you would follow, and whose faith you do follow? Because we need to be heading in that direction, towards Christ, the edifying of his body, and the unity of faith. And there's gifts that God gives to serve in the church. That's very noticed and visible. But there's another gift that's spoken of that's maybe speaking more to people on a general terms, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And Apostle Paul is speaking of marriage or singleness, but he says, "I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that." In the very general categories of people, God gives gifts. God has a very particular place for just normal life and being faithful in just normal life and day to day. That's a gift of God. You know why? Because God has a kingdom, and he's putting it together with his own hands, and he's fitting it together for a purpose. And each stone that's assembled has meaning. There's a reason for it. Meaning there's a reason for you. There's a reason for me. The opportunity that we had to occupy today for the kingdom of God in the corner that you are, in the corner that I am, is nearly over. If you knew that your life had a purpose in the kingdom of God, and that the things that you do reverberate on beyond your life and touch other people and other generations so that faith can be passed down, and that someone could hear the truth of the gospel and inherit eternal life, Would you say that today was a gift? That your place in the kingdom of God is a gift because it means something. And pursuing life for the pleasures of this earth is meaningless because it all ends when we close our eyes in death. But Jesus says, don't lay up your treasures on the earth. Lay them up in heaven. Make an investment into the spiritual. Use your time and your gift for something that will last, for a purpose outside of yourself and beyond yourself and your own interests. And you'll learn to be like Christ, who gave himself completely. And you will have meaning. You will have a purpose. And your thirst will be satisfied. If you know his gift, if you know what he's prepared for you and who it is that offers it to you, it would change. It would change. One final gift to look at in the scriptures is the precious gift spoken of in Romans chapter 6, where Paul says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can get very busy with the things of this life and not notice how quickly it's passing, but it does. And when we come close to seeing our mortality, then this gift becomes all that matters. Then we start learning what it means to pray, to seek, to knock. And we're at Jesus' feet asking. But he gives us these gifts to enjoy today and promises them to all his children in eternity. These precious gifts, if she knew them, if she knew what God had in store, she would stop questioning and would start asking, Lord, help me to have more of what you have to offer and less of what this world does. Amen.